This is my best friend. When I came, can you see it? Yeah, okay. If I had been more tech savvy, I would have taken a picture of this picture and put it on my PowerPoint, so I apologize. Instead, I brought him with. And I brought him with because this is the Jesus I met when I converted. This is the man I said I would follow. I wasn't doing so well with the blonde guy that I saw in a lot of churches, but this guy is a hunk. And I had no trouble saying, I will follow you. God said, if you follow me, I said, I don't know what I need. He said, don't worry about that. I will meet your every need. And so here I am. And then the way I acquired the picture, not so proud of the story itself, but I was living with this guy. And he was an atheist, so you can tell we didn't get on well after a while. But he was so sure that I got moved by this picture that he went and bought it for me. And then the idiot put it over our bed. How long do you think we were going to last? I'm glad you're laughing because I thought it was pretty funny at the time. Okay, more serious. But I'm going to keep him up here. Hope you don't mind. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that was what I was given to talk about. So here we go. What is the first thing? You don't have to necessarily talk to anybody, but you can. What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word pure? Just give a little thought to that. We'll talk later about the create and the shall see, but what is it to be pure? No imperfections. Anybody got one of those? A heart with no imperfections? I'm glad I'm not alone. Most of us that have been Christians for a while, and I can claim since 1982, we can look pretty good on the outside, but a pure heart is about the inside. And that's where most of us have the work that God does with us. I don't know, where do I point this? Hello. Thank you. First commandment, love God with all your heart, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So to me, this is the main rule in my world. Am I loving myself? Am I loving God? Am I loving others? How did I do today is what I do at the end of the day. I cannot love anyone, including myself, with all my heart, if I harbor any fear, anger, and hurt about anyone or anything. That is not a loving heart. It also means, thank you, Lord, that I have a built-in truth detector called the Holy Spirit. And it works in me especially because I work with a lot of other people who are trying to get closer to God. So some definitions that I came up with, and hopefully they will match some of yours. First, so here we go. We'll try this again. Pure means unadulterated, free of contamination, wholesome, untinted morally, clean and clear, innocent and free of impurities, holy, to live without compromise. Are you getting the feeling that we've got a long way to go yet? Yep. Not, this is not about the organ, but refers to your emotion, your intellect, and your will, all of the things that motivate our behavior. So it's about how I treat people and how I treat myself. An additional meaning. Some think that it means naive. Now, I'm not going for this one, which means lack of experience, wisdom, judgment, naturally unaffected. I'm not sure that's what God means by pure of heart. Because innocent, not guilty, comes only from Jesus. I don't have one of this. But we can clean up our hearts. We are innocent and not guilty, but only because of the blood of Jesus. I would hate to have to give up my experience, knowledge, and wisdom to be pure of heart. That doesn't suit, as far as I can tell. So I'm sticking with the first one. Unadulterated, free of contamination, wholesome, clean, clear, free of impurities, holy, means to live without compromise. Jesus is completely pure. I am to be more like him, or as the Bible says, man without sin. But I can come to him with untainted trust. So the Greek word, I do have to look some of these things up because of Matthew. The Greek word for pure, which I cannot pronounce, is katharos, which means to be clean, blameless, and unstained with guilt. The word can refer specifically to that which is purified by fire, which I would prefer not, and pruning, which I think happens when we talk about John and the vine. Have you ever been pruned? Yeah, some of us know about being pruned. And it refers to our spiritual center of life. It is where thoughts, desires, a sense of purpose, will, understanding, and characteristics reside. So to be pure in heart means to be blameless in who we actually are, inside and out. We are to go to Jesus and ask him to do the cleansing work when our hearts are not pure. So if anything erupts in your day. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. God is the only one who can make our hearts pure through Jesus, through the sacrifice of his son and the constant sanctifying work in our lives. But create is a process, which I suppose many of us who've been around for a while know that there's this process of ongoing cleansing, of ongoing self-reflection, awareness, learning, whatever you want to put on it, but that's how he creates. What I like about it, at least in the Genesis story, is that when he created, he said, "This, let this be," and there it was. I keep hoping he'll go, "Let there be Pharaoh," and there I'll be. Everyone who has this hope, John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him, in Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure. That's a good promise. To be pure in heart is the result of his cleansing. It is impossible for us. Thankfully, all things are possible with God. It is an awesome task that only he can do. And I want to say thank you to the singers up here because they basically told you everything I'm going to tell you in different words. And Matt, thank you especially because you're going to talk about how you see God. It is only through his mercy that we become pure of heart. So anyone who knows me will have some idea that I am a prophet by gift. I'm a truth teller. I can hear a lie a mile away, and I'm very inclined to want to challenge it on the spot, which means I sometimes interrupt people. And according to my very first pastor, there won't be a prophet that's likely to have the gift of mercy because then they'd keep their mouth shut. But if I hit you with the truth, in quotes, that is me loving you because I don't want anybody living in a lie. That's how it works in my world. However, I have no right to hit anybody with the truth unless I am already living some part of that myself. Although I have no right to go to you and say blah, 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 if my life is corrupt with it. So God has done a practice of developing mercy in me. I can hear lies. Mercy folk hear hurt. I think that he meant me to be a psychotherapist so I could learn about compassion. For myself as well. So what is required is our acknowledgement of our unpureness. I think I made that word up. It is far too easy to focus on the wrongdoing of others rather than to look at ourselves. Going to get a lot of scripture today. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I think the way to a clean heart is in that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, he will forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. Whoops. This calls for repentance. So I'm going to give you a moment of silence and invite you to remind, pay attention to any lingering hurt, fear, or anger that you're carrying around with you as of now. I'll give you a minute or two. Notice what you feel and think. Can you recognize that you needed or wanted something? That you either didn't get what you needed or wanted, or that you got something you didn't need. Stop the focus on what other people said or did. We will do something with that during communion. In Matthew from last week, thank you very much, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, and I always love this, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. There are people in our lives that require 70 times seven. Everybody's got somebody, either in their family or their work or their life, or even here in the church, probably. There's just somebody that, as the American expression would be, gets up your nose. I may even be one of them. So last year on retreat, because I do believe something personal should be out here, God and I looked over a timeline of my life. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I grew up in a home where my mother was very abusive of alcohol and fairly abusive of me. And my dad also drank, but he worked and so didn't drink as much. And as we looked at the timeline, I mean, I'm 77, that would take up a lot of paper. But the first two segments were from me at conception till my first drink at 19. And then from 19 to 1982, where I had my last drink, and then 84, I met Jesus. What I had to look at was the absolute horror of that was in my own life. Now, horror is a different word to me than fear. It felt bigger and deeper. I hadn't looked at my life like that. And then the second part was looking on my own behavior with horror, of what I then did while I was drinking to make myself feel better about who I was. Because I thought I was Darth Vader. All I had to do was take a deep breath and dear Wendy over there would drop dead. Because I made my mother drink. Never mind. All kinds of blame. But after this retreat, I came home and I had a moment where I was the most emotionally undone I have ever been in my life. I have a friend who... It was after meeting with a registrar, and I tell people you shouldn't go alone to these things, and that would have been smarter. So I wrote all my questions down on a piece of paper. Turned out it was the piece of paper I had handy in, and I forgot a lot of things. But a friend once gave me a word. I was entirely, completely discombobulated. Isn't that a lovely word? It was like shame, horror, anger, sadness all at once in a very huge quantity. I can only say thank you, God, that I held myself together at all. Because I live in an apartment with other people, I screamed into a pillow. I pounded on the bed. I tried to get angry and take care of all of this. I knew he was letting me feel the experience of my first 37 years. And a great healing occurred. Now, that's not the end of the story, and I might cry over this one, so bear with me. This is fairly new. Several days later, I had what I call a tap on the shoulder by God. Do you know what I mean by that? Felt like I was alert. I'm about to speak. And he gave me the realization that this is probably how my mother felt every day of her life, but she never stopped drinking it away. I know enough about her life to know that horror is probably her problem too, but it was this huge, I don't know how to describe it entirely, but it was this huge piece of compassion for both of us. And even though I had forgiven her long ago and in person, it just felt like it was the deepest forgiveness for myself and for her that I'd ever had in my whole life. I can only hope you don't have to wait to 70-something. And now, can we have the clip? So my heart doubled in size, and we're going to have a visual of this, I hope. Can you do the...
So, it came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Then, well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Toasty inside. And I'm leaking. Oh, Max.
I love you.
That's enough. Enough, enough. Beat it. Get out of here. One step at a time.
It felt like that inside. Felt like that inside. I love how he gets thrown all over the ground as this great heart is doing his thing. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but I highly recommend any movie that people get transformed in when you're having Christmas. I'm supposed to do something here. Oh, it's up there. So Proverbs 29, who can say, I have kept my part, my heart pure, I am clean and without sin. Can I say that I have kept my heart pure? The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at our outward appearance and what we say and do, but the Lord always looks at the heart. He is not going to be satisfied until we have a pure heart. He will always love us. I've held the belief that even if you sin your way right into hell, he'll still love you. Doesn't mean he won't be angry about the sin that sent you there. So in the Psalms, it says David had integrity of heart. But David was certainly not perfect, but he was a man after God's heart. Are we? Romans 10, 9 to 13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your heart that your mouth confesses and you are saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So God has a rather huge investment in the state of our hearts. But I think we are both and. I don't think pure is something you arrive at and then you're done. I suspect most of you know that. We are both, as it says, wretched sinners with an impure heart, but we are also and who has been saved and has become a beloved child of God. So both and. Pure of heart and in need of cleansing. All this happens over time because God does the work in us, and I'm fairly certain he can't reveal it all at once, whatever he's got going. But as I think Matt was pointing out, we will see God. We do see God. And if we look with gratitude at the things, the little things that happen every day that show that God is at work in our world and in us, practicing gratitude, I think, is a way to go. Our internal hearts must change first, and then your outward behavior will follow. Or you can practice lots of things, but it'll be hard to keep them going unless your inside has changed. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Believe that Jesus did on the cross, that he was raised from the dead, that he made it possible for the God of the universe to heal and cleanse our souls. Okay. Pure at heart. Cleansing. Repentance. So now what? Philippians 4:8. Think whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So that also means about ourselves, as well as how we feel and think about others. So how can I work to help purify my heart? Dwell on the Word of God. Spend time with him. Make it a quiet time. My friend Joe and I do silent retreats a couple times a year. People ask me why, and I'm a very talkative soul, so I say I'm fasting my mouth, which is mostly true. Watch your words. Pay attention to what you say because it reflects what's going on inside. Purify your heart by monitoring your thoughts. Pay attention. Practice self-reflection. I like there's an app, believe it or not, on my phone called Lectio Divina. And you get a morning and an afternoon time. And what I like about the end is that it always asks me, where have I seen God? What things am I grateful for? And then it asks me, was there anything I did wrong or thought? Consider the influences that are affecting the state of your heart. Be able to confess and be repentant. I like that he cried after he realized that his heart was a mess, because that's probably a good reaction to knowing that you've done something. And be open to the wisdom of others. Oh, Lord, you know all of us more deeply and fully than we know ourselves. You love us with a greater love than we can love ourselves. You even offer us more than we can desire. Please take our tired bodies, our confused minds, or our restless souls into your arms and give us simple rest. Amen. Henry Nouwen. James 4 tells us, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Jesus refers more likely to those who believe will see God, meaning in heaven. But I'm not sure about that. I think there are lots of ways to see God, and I think Matt mentioned several. Part of the trouble I have with that particular scripture is that I'm very aware that God's already in me. He's full on in this room. Almost forgot. We are in the very presence of God. How refreshing it is. I have made God my home. And we can do that. We can practice it. We can be more sure. But remember, it is only accomplished by the blood of Jesus and an act of God. So I have another story. I'm doing all right. I was talking with my friend about whether I would share this, but it's a big truth for me. I was on one of many of the silent retreats I've been on. And it wasn't this picture. Sorry, buddy, you got to move. Wasn't this picture. But I was in bed. I hadn't quite got up for the morning. And all of a sudden, there was a face in front of me. I cannot describe it to you. I cannot describe it to you. I have periodically in my life had an audible sense of a voice of God speaking to me. I may be a complete weirdo, but I hope you can hear this anyway. I heard God ask me to marry him. Hence, the ring is on this hand. Unfortunately, the knuckle's gone too big over here. I can't do it. But I actually had a ceremony of committing my life. I recited the promises of God, and I recited my promises to him. And so I am now a Pentecostal nun. But it was a very clear picture, and it was a very clear face that I can't describe it to you. I have no idea. I just know it was a face. Does that make any sense at all? And I felt it down to my shoes. And some lovely people organized a ceremony for me, for several of my friends came along, and it was profound. And so I live my life, and by the way, you cannot win an argument when God is your husband. So I saw his face. I don't know how you'll see his face. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I got to get these back on. Oh, that was the one I missed. You were supposed to be able to see that. Apologies.
How could it be so?
No.
It came without ribbons.
That shouldn't be there. That's not mine. All right, we're on PowerPoint 18 if you can get back in. No, PowerPoint 19 if you can get back in there. Wherever you see his face, hear his voice, have an intuitive thought, or know his word, you are getting closer to God. It requires day-to-day reflection on the state of our hearts. But every time we do that, some aspect of God will become very clear to us. Some aspect of ourselves will become very clear. And the sense that God is running your life or running my life, like when I get up here, these words, as far as I'm concerned, all came through me. Some of them are mine, I suppose, because I've added stories. But in the sense of, I believe that it is his wisdom that comes through me. That's taken a lot of practice and a lot of reflection and a lot of change. But however he comes to you, that will happen more and more deeply the purer your heart is. Loving Lord Jesus, I thank you for bearing all my sins in your body on the cross. It is by your wounds I am healed, and by your blood I am cleansed. I receive your forgiveness now. Joe is going to lead us in communion. Please keep in mind anything that occurred to you at that moment of silence about unfinished business. This is a time to confess, repent, take communion, and be cleansed.